Time now for tips for hardy gardeners with our special guest star, Mr. Tom Casper. Good morning there, sunshine.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
A little warmer than I've been. Makes me happy. Yeah. I have a coffee mug. It's one of my favorite coffee mugs. And it's got a guy all bundled up, and he's out walking his dog, and his dog is frozen stiff and just on the leash, horizontal from, you know, at the guy's shoulder height, basically. And it says, "Welcome to colder than you'll ever imagine." And I kind of like that.
You kind of like that.
I kind of like the mug anyway, but I kind of appreciate the fact that it's not quite as cold as it's been. So.
Yeah.
So do gardeners just pack up and travel when it gets to be like this? I mean, people that are just really, really, the garden bug is really biting them. But I noticed that there are a whole bunch of workshops throughout the state and stuff coming up in February.
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of opportunity right now in the area for folks that want to get their garden knowledge going and getting their ideas flowing and things like that. Some stuff happening at the Duluth Folk School and over at Fairlawn, and a couple of things up in Two Harbors and down at the Minnesota Arboretum and at the Minnesota Hort Society's offices. So there's all sorts of things for people to do, and even down at the conservatory, the Como Park Conservatory, they have spring flower shows, which I have to find a way to get down to see. So all sorts of stuff going on if people are really getting that bug, which I certainly am.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, you've got a greenhouse. Not everybody has a greenhouse that they can go poke around in. And
that's true.
And so, you know, you're like, you could open that up for tours for gardeners that are just kind of miserable and want to see little things growing. And they'd probably take advantage of it. They'd come in and they'd feel like, okay, I got a little smell of freshly turned earth. Now I can make it another month.
Yeah. Well, and I'm actually planning on doing that, is allowing people, if they want to come up and see some of the stuff we're growing and see some of the exciting new things that are coming, as well as some of the old standbys that people have loved for years. So it's I think that's an opportunity for all of us to kind of remember that spring is not that far away. We're now, just past halfway between winter and spring? Embolic day? Is that how you pronounce that?
Spring in my universe begins March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's meteorological spring. Is that what they call it? I don't know. But spring in my world starts March 1. That's the way it goes.
So we're only weeks away from your spring.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So times are, you know. So, you know, with spring and with gardening, we you know, like any other activity, people have their terminology and their use of words that might not mean the same to somebody else, but certainly mean different things to gardeners, like, you know, turning the soil and compost piles and all sorts of different things.
You know, you don't use a lot of jargon, and I appreciate that about you, because it's like, you're so cool, you don't need to use a bunch of words that other people don't understand to prove how cool you are.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, because jargon is a way that people use to sometimes to keep other people out. And it's like, I'm speaking my own cool language that only the insiders know. But there are some gardening terms once in a while that it doesn't hurt to have explained. And you and I took a look at this article, and I didn't know there was such a thing as blossom and rot. And I'm kind of thinking I could have gone the rest of my life without needing to know that. Now I'm deeply, deeply disturbed.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and blossom end rot is really a disease or a fungus that affects mainly tomatoes, but can also affect other vegetables. And it's really, as people have gotten more and more into container gardening or growing their vegetables in containers rather than in the earth, that becomes a greater or a bigger problem. And it's really generally a calcium deficiency, and also can be indicative of irregular watering. So, and certainly containers dry out faster, and if they're in some of the soilless media that we buy, you know, the potting soil that really don't have soil in them, it's more like bark and a few other things. So a lot of them are nutrient deficient when you buy them. So if you are not fertilizing your tomatoes in this case, if you're not fertilizing them regularly, you end up with that happening to the bottoms of the fruit. About the time you think you're going to harvest it, you look at the bottom and it's all rotted out.
Okay, so I'm not saying that people are tomatoes, but it kind of does want you remember to take your multivitamin with calcium. You remember to push the water, and you say, I'm people aren't tomatoes, but I don't want to run the risk. I mean, why risk blossom and rot? Why risk it? Take your calcium. Drink
calcium.
Some water. Be on the safe side.
Yeah, get a little organic fertilizer and give that plant a little food, and you don't have to risk it anymore.
Okay, now alkaline soil. Alkaline, you know, that kind of gets into chemistry and stuff like that. And don't you how to figure out the pH of your soil? There used to be shampoos where they had little test strips they'd dip in them, and then you'd know if the shampoo was the right thing. Alkaline, don't you have to send your soil away to be tested in order to find out about the alkalinity?
Yeah, for a really accurate test, you do. The University of Minnesota still does that, and folks can get soil test kits or send that soil into the U of M. And I think they analyze it for about $20, and they tell you what the pH of the soil is and what it's deficient in. So it certainly is helpful to be using kits like that. You can also buy a rather inexpensive one and make a little soil slurry and then test your pH that way. It's not nearly as accurate, but it's going to get you in the ballpark. Anyway.
Okay, so soil slurry is just jargon for mud pie.
Yeah, it's pretty
right?
close to a mud pie.
All right. Okay, just wanted to be, you know, we're talking about a mud puddle here, okay?
Yeah.
Just want to make sure. See, you know, you started reading some of these words and you kind of got carried away, I realize.
Sorry.
So, amendments. I love the idea of amendments. You don't add things to the soil. You don't enrich your soil. You amend your soil.
It's the same thing.
Okay. And they have the same definition of weed that my grandpa used. No, in my grandpa's world, things were kind of weeds for the most part, regardless. I mean, a dandelion growing all by itself, you know, in a patch of dandelions in a ditch was still a weed. But they say a weed is any plant growing where it's not wanted. So an orchid, a lady slipper orchid could be a weed.
Yes.
If you were weird and didn't want one.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah, yeah, it's an interesting concept, but it's really, if you think about it, it's really the truth. And I've talked with folks who've had beautiful bur oaks or oak trees growing up, but they're 6-8 inches away from the foundation of their house.
Yeah.
And they're like, I want to keep it as this beautiful oak tree. And at that point, it's really a weed. It's a big weed.
Yeah.
But it's a plant that will cause damage or cause problems. Essence, it's a nuisance. I mean, you know, that's what people would classify a weed as. You know, not, and of course, now our impression or our desire to eradicate all weeds, which was really, you know, a unique American tradition, has really kind of slowed. People have become much more okay with lawns with a variety of plants instead of just that monoculture of grass.
Well, and trying to get native plants, I guess in particular, maybe native flowering plants, but to bring in, native plants and people can start appreciating. I think about some of the gorgeous, gorgeous lawns in town, you know, that attract birds and bees and butterflies and have all of these beautiful native plants. And I'm thinking, oh, my grandpa just would have You know, it just, but it's what you've been taught is the way things are supposed to look. And we're starting to kind of pry our minds open a little bit. Couple of last words that I just really wanted to ask you about because I think they're wonderful. An escape. I didn't realize that plants could escape, but apparently they can. It is a yard or garden plant that's begun to grow wild, surviving and spreading on its own.
Yeah, it's escaped its boundaries.
Okay, did you see the story on the news about the problems they're having in the Everglades with ball pythons?
No, I didn't see that.
They figure somebody turned their pet snake loose, and ball pythons are now reproducing in the Everglades, and little ones are 20 feet long. And I'm thinking, now that's an escape. A dandelion that blows from my yard. My award-winning thistles or something. But then my very favorite gardening term ever, I bet you could guess it if I gave you a minute. It's broadcast.
Broadcast.
You know, back in the day, you used to have a license from the FCC. You couldn't just, anybody just couldn't willy-nilly start broadcasting.
Broadcasting without some kind of background.
Exactly. And a little piece of paper from the federal government.
Yes.
But apparently people can get out there with fertilizer or lawn seed or fill in the blank and just go to town.
Willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly. That's another great gardening term.
Yes, broadcast. You know, and really back to that plant escape, that's an interesting term. And it's, people were so hung up on keeping their plants really confined, and now we're now where people are really allowing their plants to sort of broaden and naturalize into areas and create space. And that's really about the plant escaping.
As about it, allowing it to be free. As, you know, not restraining it, maybe.
Yeah.
Wow. No fences for the plants. Just
no fence.
Open your arms and just let them, you know, broadcast themselves.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, TK, you go and see if you can get to some of these exciting conferences and workshops and stuff and come back and tell us all about it, and we'll talk in a couple of weeks, okay?
Sounds great. You have a good, warm day.
I'm going to give it a whirl. Tom Casper is a master gardener and our longtime host of Tips for Hardy Gardeners right here on 103.3 KUMD.